is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in to the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. He's got Super Bowl rings. I've got a ring doorbell. Regardless, we have a very fun show ahead over the course of the next 2 hours, Michael. Lots to talk about in the NFL and, of course, college hoops with the Sweet 16 set. How are we doing today?
We're good, Stormy. We're doing really good. You know, I enjoyed the Iowa game last night with Caitlin Clark. I know everybody was complaining about the officiating, but it was a fun game to watch, and I thought West Virginia denied the ball to her and tried to do everything they could, but I'm going to keep watching. I thought it was fun and interesting, and I think the women's game is, like Al Davis would often say, is really a fun game to watch.
Yeah, the last 4 years, it's seemed to grow a ton, and what a time to be alive that we have you mentioning it and Twitter ablaze that we're yelling at officials in a women's basketball game. You know, like things have really grown and things have changed, Michael. But I was laughing watching at the end of the game because we talk about how physical of a matchup that was for Iowa and how they did a really good job defending and limiting the types of opportunities that Caitlin Clark could have as a shooter. She still ended up with 32, which, by the way, those foul shots ended up being critical for her points prop for anybody who bet it. Over 31.5, she gets 32.
Wow. I mean, she made some incredible shots. Like sometimes when she, you know, it was just weird how she can be off balance, going to her right, going to her left, and then make these incredible, her eye-hand coordination is incredible. And, you know, they did it, and West Virginia tried to keep her and make everybody else beat them. And I think that's the formula you're going to see moving forward, try to deny her the ball at all costs. But somehow, some way, she gets the shot off. And when it looks like there's no way you're going to make that shot, and boom, swish right through the hoop. So, fun watch. This will be interesting how we move forward. You know, playing on neutral courts. They go up to Albany this week, so it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure it'll be a packed house. Stormy, yeah. I mean, one thing about these games, the Connecticut game was, there were packed houses everywhere.
Oh yeah. It was awesome. And two, like, again, just to like put the bow on Caitlin Clark at Iowa for that, for her to get a win and finish her career on that home court and have the fanfare there. I think it's great for her. It's great for women's basketball as a sport. It's great for we talked about it in the commercial before we actually got on air that the TV networks needed this. Right. So we'll see how far ultimately she can go. But it's been fun to watch. They are now the Iowa women, an 8.5-point favorite against Colorado as they move ahead to the Sweet 16. We'll talk a little men's action later on in the show in about a half an hour. Your guy, Tate Frazier of the One Shining podcast from The Ringer, he'll join us, talk through some of the games that he's particularly intrigued in, which one seeds he might think are the most poised for a run, which is the most vulnerable. Similar conversation with Will Hill in hour two. Some of his best bets upcoming. Are there any futures still available? Will Hill, friend of the show, VSiN contributor, should have bet more podcast. But let's start in the NFL, Michael, because owners this morning passed a massive change to the league's kickoff. It'll only be a one-year trial, but it will model what the XFL did this past year. And I got to tell you, I was shocked that this got the votes. There were only three teams that were dissenting and objected to it ultimately when the vote came from push to shove here, Michael. What are your thoughts on the new kickoff?
I was shocked too, Stormy, because I think this is a radical departure. Mm. This changes the game a little bit. The players are going to be so close. They claim we'll have more returns. We shall see, right? And the coaches are going to have to figure all this out, how we're going to handle the blocking. And because of the relationship between the offense and the defense, or the kicking team and the return team. So I was surprised. But as I said yesterday, I didn't think it would go. Mm. But when they call a vote, they have the votes. I mean, this is very Lyndon Johnson, the way they run these meetings. There's no vote called unless they can have them. And with three teams, did they mention who the three teams were?
It was the Raiders, Packers, and 49ers were the three that voted against it.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, and the Packers have a really good return game as well. And so, look, I everything's going to change. It's going to look weird. It's going to look funky. At least it's only for 1 year. Mm-hmm. I like that. I think that's a good move. They moved the trade deadline back to Stormy, yep, which I think is another good move to go to week 9, the Tuesday of the week 9 of the season. I think that's certainly going to help. You know, but this one, I want to see it a little bit more. I know you have more experience with it than I do because you've witnessed it in all your games. So what do you think?
Well, the number statistically it is that in the XFL over the last, we call it the last two seasons. Of course, the 2020 year got canceled ultimately because of COVID, but 90% of kickoffs were ultimately returned, which is a huge departure from what we've seen in the league over the last handful of years, where this past season it was an NFL historic low of under 22% of kickoffs that were returned. So it should ultimately mean that we are going to have the things that the league is looking for to revamp this in terms of more balls getting returned. There's no more fair catches, right? The touchback situation is different. I will say one thing that the league did change is that you will still, because I'm sure there are fans wondering about an onside kick, there will still be an onside kick that's allowed, and that will have to be from a traditional NFL kickoff formation, but you have to declare it. So sorry, Sean Payton, no more surprise onside kicks anymore. That was another layer to this.
Wow. Well, that takes it out of the game.
Exactly.
Yeah, that takes it. That means onside kicks are only going to happen when you're two possessions behind and you've got to score and now you've got to get it. Which, again, lends itself to how much practice time are you going to do on onside kicks in these situations, right? Like, that's a hard thing to work on. You got to practice that. The kickers practice that every single day, those kicks. Yeah. All of a sudden, now we're going to go back to the old rules. I think, to me, I mean, you see it in the XFL. I don't, so I don't see it as much. But that's a little bit takes away any surprise, which I think is a great element of the game, the onside kick. We see it a lot in September because teams aren't ready for it.
Well, yeah, the surprise element of it is what I find is fun. So that is kind of a little bit of a bummer. But again, we talked about it yesterday. Onside kicks are only actually converted about 5% of the time. So trying to make it more competitive for the other team knowing that it's coming, I don't know. That part of it, I wasn't the biggest fan of. But the actual kick return here thing, the thing that shocked me the most about this, Michael, was the fact that the UFL this year is actually not doing this. Like, they're doing a different version of the kickoff where it just makes it a longer kick. Basically, the kick has to go 80 yards in order for there to be a touchback. So it's still promoting returns. But I don't know, like, I get the player safety element of it, but the UFL and their research, at least based on the XFL and the way that the USFL had previously done their kick returns, was that there wasn't a significant difference in terms of health and player safety, actually. So, like, that's the part that is kind of taking me out of it a little bit, was that they're, and it's just such a limited sample size, they don't really know. And with this being a 1-year trial, they don't really know either.
Yeah, I just don't see... I don't see it really being something that makes the game better. If it's more returns, I'm for that.
Yeah.
I think, to me, if you want more return, I think there's another way to modify it. And hopefully we can adjust it, and hopefully we can handle that.
And I think that there will be tweaks. But again, that was the big reason, is just trying to eliminate some of those high speed collisions, less concussions. And a lot of the previous efforts that the league had made to limit concussions have limited returns. In the Super Bowl this past year, there were 13 kickoffs. There were all of them ultimately ended up being a fair catcher out of the end zone. I think 12 of them were out of the end zone. So none of them got returned in that game, which was the first time ever in a Super Bowl. We also saw yesterday the ban on the hip drop tackle. And as you mentioned, the trade deadline change there. I wanted to ask you, we've got a couple more minutes here, Michael. I know every day on the show we're doing a little edition of what's on Michael's mind, and we'll hit this even harder in hour two. But what's on your mind today as it pertains to the draft?
Well, I think what we're seeing is the same thing we saw last year, right? We saw Will Levis start to climb in the first round. You know, his odds went to 4-1 to be the first pick overall. Nobody could understand it, but it was going there. I think what we're seeing with J.J. McCarthy is a couple things that are happening that are affecting the market that may not be reality. So people shouldn't react as quickly. That's because Harbaugh makes this really this strong plea. And I truly believe, as I wrote today in my column, that he believes it. And then there's Tom Pelissero, who said he's, you know, knowing Adam Peters and knowing what he likes at quarterback, he could see McCarthy being the second pick overall. Well, Peters was the man really responsible for Trey Lance at the 49ers. I mean, he was the driving force there. And I don't see the correlation between loving Lance and loving McCarthy. Both are athletic, I get that. But they're kind of different players. So I could see Jaden Daniels more than I could see McCarthy in Washington. But again, I think this is a lot of noise. I think this is a lot of noise. And what I tried to write about today in my column was, like, you're listening to too many people that don't really know what it takes to play quarterback in the National Football League. I get you're going to have to make a bet. I understand that. But I think there's going to become a voice of reason. I got a text from somebody today in the league that was telling me, how is anybody going to draft McCarthy in the first round? We all, most everybody they talk to has second round grades on him. So there's a little bit of a discourse here. And I'm not sure, as I wrote about, sometimes you may have that second round grade on a player, but because you're so desperate, because you're that, you know, you're looking for gold in 1849, you're willing to do anything you can to get it, right? Huh. And so they see things and move players up. I mean, that's why 39, that's why 56 of the 66 players who've been drafted since the year 2000 at quarterback in the first round are not first round talents.
Michael, that's a massive disparity, though, from people saying that he's could be the number two overall pick to being a second round pick.
Yeah.
And I know that's, and for as crazy as that sounds, we remember just a year ago, Will Levis got as short as 4-1 to go number one overall because of a Reddit post. And then he ends up going in the second round, number one overall pick in the second round. I stole that from our guy Elliot. That was a fun one. But that, you know, like, it depends on where the information is coming from. And I think that's why this market moves so significantly, is because you hear voices like Tom Pelissero and Jim Harbaugh just glowing about J.J. McCarthy, and the combination of these factors from quote unquote trusted sources in our brains as fans and as people that watch the NFL, that you immediately believe it. And this market shift is not small, ladies and gentlemen. McCarthy was as long as 28-1 on March 18th. We ended the show yesterday. He was 18-1 to go number two overall. Where we sit right now, 4-1, plus 400. Jaden Daniels is still an odds on favorite. Drake May, the second shortest shot, but JJ McCarthy's odds cut significantly. We'll discuss this a little bit more later on in the program, but when we come back, news or noise, Michael's going to continue helping us separate the insignificant from the impactful.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find when you head to Total Wine and More. Please drink responsibly. Must be 21.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
All right, Michael, let's start with the team of if, as we're calling them. The Jets. Owner Woody Johnson says that the team...
The ifers,
exactly. He says that the team will keep Zach Wilson if they can't trade him. Said while he thinks it would be a better situation for Zach to trade him, called the three-year quarterback a valuable asset they're not just going to release. News or noise?
Sure. Sure. It's noise. He gave him permission to seek a trade. No one wanted him. They gave him permission to seek a trade back in February. No one wanted him. Now they can't trade him. Oh, but they've turned down three trade offers because he's so valuable. Well, if he's so valuable, why'd you sign Tyrod Taylor? Like, does anybody read their clippings? Like, does anybody read what they say? You know, Robert Kraft just said he had no idea the facilities were bad. That's why he's going to put money into it. But then he was responsible for winning six Super Bowls. Like, does anybody make any sense? Do they remember what they say? Of course, nobody calls him out on it either. Hey, Woody, you've been trying to trade him since February. There's no value for him. Cut him. Like, you know what's the most alarming thing if you're an Ifer fan? If you're an Ifer fan, Woody's involved. You know this.
Oh, yeah.
This really, you know, because they would cut him if Woody wasn't involved. The Ifers would let him go. But because the Ifers have him involved, they can't.
I love this follow-up quote from Woody Johnson. He's got the skill. He can do everything. There's a reason we drafted him at number two overall. I have confidence he'll get there. Yeah. Okay. If they do keep him on the roster, though, Michael, I just think about Aaron Rodgers, 40 years old, coming off an Achilles. Tyrod Taylor, 34 years old, has his own series of injury issues. Like, $20 says Zach Wilson still ends up starting games with that offensive line. I could, you could just see it.
I wouldn't take that bet because you're dead on accurate. You know it. Tyrod can't make it through a game without getting hurt. I mean, God bless him, but he's older. So, you know, if he's your three, he's going to play. And here's the worst thing for Zach Wilson. is to be on the team and not have accountability. Because even when he was having accountability, he wasn't working hard and prepared. Can you? I mean, this is going to be Zach Wilson on the Jet team would be like every freshman kid who goes to college. Like, oh my God, you mean I don't have a curfew? I don't have to come home? Like, oh wow, let's go. You know, toga party. Here we come.
Oh, man, I love it. Okay, let's go to Pittsburgh. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin shared his thoughts on his newly revamped quarterback room. Take a listen.
We're not resistant to competition, but as I've mentioned several times of late, I just think it's appropriate to establish positioning as we get into this thing. And the term that I've used is Russell has pole position. When it's time to compete, we get in training camp-like settings and going to preseason stadiums and so forth. Obviously, Justin will be given an opportunity to show his capabilities. He oozes talent and potential. He's worn the responsibility of being a franchise quarterback, but still he gets an opportunity to come into a community-like situation and learn from a guy that's been doing it for over a decade. Man, there's a lot of meat left on that bone, man. I'm just excited about working to be a part of extracting.
Okay, so Russell Wilson, the veteran, in pole position to be the starter. But boy, Justin Fields oozes talent, Michael. News or noise?
Oh, I think it's a head coach. It's news in this sense. It's a head coach wanting to make sure that he doesn't lose a player because he doesn't think the player has a chance to play. And so what he's trying to do is bring out the best in his team, making everything competitive. Right. And every coach does this. Right. Every coach before the season starts, say you got to make the team, even though a coach knows 30 guys are guaranteed to be on the team based on contract, based on the year before. So I think it's a little bit of noise, but it is news in the fact that, you know, it's going to take an awful lot for Fields to demonstrate that he can beat out Wilson. And how does that really happen? Because when you look at the preseason, I mean, what's going to determine that you win the job? You're not playing against anybody. You only have three games and you don't play against anybody.
I think that the starter at the beginning of the year is going to be Russell Wilson, but I'm not sure that the leash will be particularly long because of the financial implications. You don't owe Russell Wilson anything, so if he's not playing well, you could give the other guy a chance if he is having success behind the scenes, which we'll have to wait and see. From Mike Tomlin to Mike Tomlin's twin in Brandon Ayuk, rumors have been circulating this month that the 49ers were discussing potential deals with the Steelers and Jags for Brandon Ayuk, but GM John Lynch came out and said the team has not had trade discussions involving him, but they have been actively talking with him about an extension as he enters the final year of his rookie year. Rookie deal, news or noise? Because there are some interesting social media layers to this as well.
I think it's news. I do think they want to sign him. I do think that. I think that's something they want. Now, I think obviously they've got to take a look at the finances and where does that lend themselves to and where does that put them. But they need him. Look, they know they need him. They need his outside presence, right? He's the only really, besides Jennings, he's the only really outside receiver they have on the team. Debo's an inside receiver. Kittle's an inside receiver. McCaffrey's an inside receiver. They need somebody on the outside to challenge the defense, and Ayuk does that really well. I think they're trying to sign him. Now, if they have an opportunity to get somebody in the draft and they trade up to get a receiver that they feel could really make a difference, I wouldn't put that past them at all. Okay. I would not. And then they could have let Ayuk go after the season. That would be a smart play. Let him play on the option year and see if we can replace him. I think that's too early to determine yet because where they pick, is there actually going to be somebody there? But remember, Justin Jefferson made it down to 23.
Ayuk, a second-team All-Pro this past year. He led the 49ers with 75 catches, 1,342 yards. This story was then followed up by Ayuk on his Instagram posting a series of emojis equating to money talks, BS walks. We'll see how things play out there with the 49ers, who are a plus 550 favorite to win the Super Bowl this coming season. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel said things went great with OBJ's visit to Miami this week, that the team offered him a contract, but added business takes time and conversations are ongoing. News or noise?
I mean, anytime it's with Odell, it's always going to make news, but it's really just noise. Like, who cares? Like, if you're throwing the ball to Odell or you're throwing the ball to somebody else, why isn't Tyreek Hill or Waddle getting the ball? That's who you want to get the ball to, right? And so, like, I get that, you know, you couldn't outscore everybody. At some point, You know, I think if you study the Patriots and you study from the time they lost a chance at three-peating until they won a Super Bowl in 14 again, 8 years, that they realized they couldn't outscore anybody. You're not going to win titles trying to outscore people. It just doesn't happen. The Rams couldn't do it, and they were as good as anybody. You got to play better defense, and they've lost a lot of guys on defense. If I was Mike McDaniels, I would be more obsessed with trying to find another defensive lineman, another corner, because right now, you know, we're going to have a hard time.
Michael, that's 100% my thought. Let's add to the defense instead of paying another guy to just be a safety net for Tua Tagovailoa when you already have two of the best wide receivers in the entire National Football League. You don't need that. OBJ, by the way, last 1,000-yard season, 2019, his first season with the Cleveland Browns. His first 3 years in the league, he had 35 touchdowns in the 7 years since, combined for 24. The Broncos are currently sitting in the 12th position in this year's draft with Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci holding down the quarterback room following Russell Wilson's departure to Pittsburgh. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport asked Broncos head coach Sean Payton how realistic it is for them to trade up for a quarterback. His response, realistic. News or noise?
News. Oh, he's going to be aggressive. That's Sean Payton. Sean Payton goes into the draft room and could care less about the 25 draft. He only cares about the 24 draft. I mean, look at the Saints during his time there. How many times they traded away next year's one to get a one, or they traded away picks to move up. I mean, he feels like he can find players anywhere. He'll steal somebody off your practice squad. He'll find somebody in free. He's not a draft Nick in the sense that he's going to go and look at his draft and grade it. He's more interested in building a team. And when you're more interested in building a team, you'll give away draft picks to get the player you want. Now, it doesn't work out all the time, but in 10 years from now, when you grade Sean's draft and there's a lot of missing links, people don't put the players in that he traded for. And that's why they were able to win a Super Bowl. Should have been the two if they would have gotten the right call in that one game. But for me, I think he's definitely going to be very aggressive. I think it's more Bo Nix than J.J. McCarthy, frankly.
See, this is what I love, Michael. That's the insight we need, especially as you are diving deeper on that quarterback class. I'm looking forward to in the next couple of weeks getting those quarterback rankings. Sean Payton, by the way, also said it's good to be Monty right now, talking about Arizona Cardinals general manager Monty Austenfort, who, of course, sits there with the number 4 overall pick. See what they ultimately end up doing there. OK, we're going to hit the break. But when we come back, Michael, we're going to turn our attention to a little bit of college basketball. Your guy, Tate Frazier, former host of GM Street, which now has become GM Shuffle, which everybody knows and loves. He works for The Ringer, hosting the One Shining podcast. Nobody is more dialed into the tournament than this guy. Cannot wait to get his thoughts on the games ahead. And rumor has it he's actually going to be out there in the Western region. So particularly interested in his thoughts on those two games. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have an exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager, up to $2,500 in bonus bets your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now. And just like Tate Frazier said, use that code Lombardi when you sign up. You'll earn $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager right now. VSiN exclusive. Okay, Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you. And while we have all of these amazing quotes and headlines and sound bites that are coming out of the NFL owners meetings, it is not exclusive to Orlando right now. We have some headlines coming from the West Coast as well. Deion Sanders had a few interesting things to say, Michael. And while we're less than a month away from the 2024 NFL draft, he is already looking ahead to 2025, trying to game the draft for his son, Shedeur Sanders, and his fantastic two-way talent over there at Colorado, Travis Hunter. Take a listen to what Deion had to say.
Where do you predict Shedeur and Travis going in the draft?
Top 4.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
Anywhere from 1 through 4. One of them is going to be 1.
Mm. That's what I'm talking about.
One of them is going to be
speaking into existence.
And the latter one would not go behind 4. Mm. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I kind of want them to go. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget Shallow. Okay, mm-hmm. But I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't gonna happen.
It's okay, you on point?
It's gonna be a. It's not. A, I'm sorry. It's gonna be an Eli.
That coming on the $1 million worth of game podcast, by the way. But Mike, okay, so he will decide where they go in the draft, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's why they have a collective bargaining agreement, and that's why there's rules. And this isn't the Wild Wild West where, you know, when I was first entered the league, the college draft was holdout season. Players could, you know, kind of not come to camp without problems and yada, yada, yada. They were getting all the money and the veterans were upset. So, look, if he doesn't want to come out and he wants to go back into the draft and he wants to sit out a year and not play for the team, then so be it. I think to me, you know, that's his right. Now, what he does in that year, if he doesn't play college football, you got to figure out what you're going to do. But you can't dictate to the draft. And I the one thing I do know about the 32 gentlemen that are down in Orlando, they usually win these. They usually win these, you know. And so I think to me, to say you're not going to a certain team based on who picks you would probably be a little bit of a difference. Now, remember, the Eli situation was simply that, you know, the Chargers ended up with Phillip Rivers. So it wasn't, and they got the actual better player. Okay, so this is what's so funny about it, right? They got the better player and the draft picks. Who won that trade, Stormy?
Well, Eli like, did have the Super Bowls,
the
though.
Eli moment.
Even if it wasn't necessarily him, but he did have the rings. I mean, that's all I'll say. Yeah.
Well, I get you that, but, you know, like, who was the better player? That's how you market the draft, right? Who was the better player? Who, you know, I mean, who would you have rather had? And I think the reason that was that case is because there was other options. There was Big Ben and there was Rivers. So that allowed the Chargers to kind of make the move they wanted to make and the Giants make the move they want to make. It's all about the leverage and the timing. I think it's really hard to dictate. It's really hard to dictate to the draft today. We'll see. You know, he's got, you know, I see your RG3's already saying Deion's going to change the NFL. Okay, good luck. Here's my question to you, Stormy. If one of those teams that he didn't want to go to wanted to hire Deion as their head coach, what would he say?
You know, I have a weird feeling that the tables would turn and that he'd be just fine going wherever that would be. So in terms of the draft position, Sanders is one of the top three quarterbacks, according to ESPN's projections in the 2025 draft. Hunter is one of the top three corners, which I did think that was interesting because obviously he plays wide receiver as well as in the secondary. So which side would he go? But it appears cornerbacks is what he's listed as right now. The thing that I always have an issue with, Michael, and I'm curious your opinion on this, is there's such a fine line these days between like player empowerment, which I am a huge fan of, and then player entitlement, which is gone too far, I feel like at this point is becoming more and more prevalent. And like, that's what I think of in this instance. And the fact that we have twice in the same week, different people, to your point about RG3, and then here with Deion talking about pulling in Eli, and you have all of the stuff coming out with these pro days and how everybody's kind of picking their own way to do things. It's just, I wonder how far that it's going to go, I guess, step by step as we go on here.
Well, look, here's what we do know, Stormy, and you're right. The players are empowered. They can become free agents. You could say, well, they get franchised. Okay. Ask Kirk Cousins how the franchise worked out for him. So, like, you have free agency. You've got the ability to move along and go somewhere. And is there any guarantee? I don't know if Deion's been in a draft room or run a draft before, but is there any guarantee that they are going to be the top four picks in the draft? I don't know. I can't say that for certainly. I know Hunter's a great player. I know Sanders looks like he could be a really good player. Now, if he were in this draft, where would he be?
Not as high on the totem pole. Everybody talks about next year's quarterback draft class specifically as being very, very weak. Eli Manning, by the way, did respond to these sound bites and said, "Love me some Deion," on X, of course. Deion, by the way, did famously, we remember, tell the Giants at the combine during his own draft cycle, "You're not drafting high enough for me. I'm not going to take your psych evaluation." And he was right. So who knows? Maybe he could be right and be a little Nostradamus in this spot. We did have some news that just came through from NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, Michael, that the Cowboys and Dak Prescott have a mutual understanding of his contract situation, according to Rappaport's sources. Said with no offers from Dallas, despite him being back in a contract year, Jerry Jones said, "We are where we are, locked and loaded for this year. No indication that a deal is coming." How significant is that for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys?
Well, I mean, his cap number is $55 million. So they're going to, you know, one of the things about redoing his deal, they would have picked up cap room this year. But if they're not going to redo his deal, they're not going to have very much cap room. And so they're going to need to rely on the draft. They don't have enough cap room right now to really sign all their draft picks. Forget about filling out their team. So they've got to get Parsons re-signed. So this is kind of works out in the favor of Dak, I think, to me. But I kind of think Jerry is pushing everything to next year. Doesn't it seem this way to you? Like I wrote today that the 10.5, and we discussed this yesterday, that 10.5 looks hard to get to. Look, I know Dak's a good player, but Dak's not carrying the team. Like, I know Dak's a really good player, but he needs help. He needs a left tackle. He needs a left guard. The right tackle needs to play better, right? They've lost, you know, they lost Michael Gallup. They had to cut him. So there's a lot of things that are going on. They don't really have a running back on the roster right now. You know, they re-signed Dowdle, but can he wasn't effective as a second back, let alone the first back. I think they take a step back, and it seems like Jerry seems okay with it. Like, I think he's okay with it. Like, and you say, well, he doesn't want to spend money. Well, look, they've been in the top 10 of spending over the last 5 years. I mean, you know, like we said yesterday, only the Patriots have won two Super Bowls in a 10-year span. Three Super Bowls in a 10-year span, with leading the league in the least amount of money spent over those 10 years.
Yeah, they obviously have done a good job of getting talent in the draft and developing them. And that's a model that they're going to try to continue to do. I'm just really surprised. And to go back to the comments, and again, this is not me saying this. These are comments from Jerry Jones that he's going to continue to be asked about, is those all-in comments. And even if it was the way that we restructured it to say all in about the players that are currently on your roster and having to pay certain guys, I always thought that Dak was going to be a part of that. I thought that it was inevitable that he was going to have to get a deal done. So this is really interesting to me that Rappaport would report that there is no deal expected as of right now.
Well, usually when that happens is because there's a gap, right? There's a gap. And one thing we know about Jerry, he's a great salesman. He can close deals. But there seems to be a gap. And does this mean he's moving on to Parsons, or does this mean he's moving on to Lamb? Parsons' cap number and his cap influence is not that much for the team. They can go through that. But when you got $55 million of cap room tied up in your quarterback, right, and you know you got to redo his contract, that tells you something right there. And then you've got Lamb, who's got $15 million. And you've got cap issues. I mean, let's be clear. You've got cap issues, and so you've got to figure out a way to get below the cap. Right now, you know, they have $4.9 million of cap room. And with him, and CeeDee Lamb counts almost $18 million of that. Now, they redo CeeDee Lamb, they'll pick up some room, but certainly not enough. I mean, look, he walked away. He made a comment at the owners' meetings that the Tyron Smith incentives were way too much for him to ever handle.
Look,
I'm a fan of Jerry. He's great for the game, but I think there's an underlying current here that is being more about everything's going to go into 25. He wasn't sure about bringing McCarthy back. He's not doing Dak Prescott. You know, is it all coincidental, or is this a plan?
It certainly seems like a plan, Michael, and it's just very, very interesting considering you're coming off 3 12-win seasons and nothing to show for it, but that you're so confident that you do have the pieces to get over the hump, yet you're not willing to invest in them. It's just a complete cycle here. It's very, very interesting what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys. Meanwhile, Brian Gutekunst says that the Packers have already begun contract talks, preliminary discussions with Jordan Love on an extension in the future. So we'll get to that a little bit later. We got to hit the break, resetting with hour two on the Lombardi Line next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DK customers. You can earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager, up to $2,500 in bonus bets your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now. Use our code Lombardi when you sign up, and I'll get you a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager right now. Speaking of DraftKings, this week, DraftKings released NFL season win totals for all 32 teams. Yesterday, we looked at the teams with the highest win total, the Chiefs, 49ers, Ravens, all at 11.5, as well as the more bottom of the barrel teams. We're talking 4.5. We're talking Carolina Panthers. It was not good. So today we're going to kind of continue to tier this out as we get through each and every one, Michael. But now we're going to look at all of the teams that have high expectations, teams that are also considered contenders. Their win total set over double digits, over 10.5. Let's start here with the Buffalo Bills, who find a way yet again to win the division. The Dolphins, I'm sure, are trying to creep their way up. The Jets, you know, they're the ifers, but if they pull everything together, could have success. How do you think that the Buffalo Bills will fare in the division? And is that win total too high, too low, or just right as we open up this gridiron Goldilocks?
Well, I think it's a little low, but I hesitate to say that because I don't think they're the same team they were last year. Right, they've lost some defensive linemen. Now they were fortunate enough they were get Daquan Jones back, which I think was huge, but they've lost a lot of players, and you know, through the cap and through what they've had to do, but they still have the great Josh Allen, so you can't go too far down on them. I think it's probably a little light because I just don't think Miami, I don't think New England, and I don't think that the ifers have caught up to them. So I think they're going to gain that. They're still going to be tough to play. I like their team. I mean, it's their quarterback. And I think anytime it's hard to bet an under with a great quarterback, I would say that should be a golden rule.
And with that thought process, the over is juiced to a minus 145 price where things sit right now. The Bills coming off an 11-win season in 2023. How about the Cincinnati Bengals, who saw their season derailed without their star quarterback, Joe Burrow, who missed the bulk of the season? Their win total also set at that 10.5, slight juice to the over as well, but just a minus 120 tax. Too high, too low, or just right for Cincinnati?
I think it's just right, and I lean towards the over here. I think with Burrow coming back, assuming they don't trade T. Higgins, which I don't believe they will, they've added to their team. I think Zach Moss will help them at running back. Geno Stone and Von Bell will give them better safety play. If they can get something out of Trent Brown at right tackle, it'll be an upgrade over Jonah Williams at right tackle. If he's minds right to play, I think they've improved their team. Now, you know, their corner situation has got to also improve. They've got to be able to, you know, they signed Sheldon Rankins to replace DJ Reader, but they have a draft ahead of them. So I think they're going to need to get a couple picks in this draft that really come in and make a difference. You know, Tyler Boyd's still out there, and which is interesting because, you know, everybody probably thought, well, you know, he's going to get a huge deal. Obviously, he's not getting what he wants in the open market for an inside slot receiver. So they might even get him back on a cheap deal if he wants to come back. But the reality of betting the over here is Burrow. Right. Burrow, Chase, the defense will be better because they got better players and communication. I like the over, if anything, here, but I think the number's just right.
Yeah, Jake Browning still got him to 9. So you imagine when you have one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League, you should be able to have a little more success. That AFC North, though, is very tough, at least just to look at on paper where things sit right now. How about the Detroit Lions? They end up going to an NFC championship this past year, a 12-win season. The one knock on this roster was the secondary and the defense, I guess, in general here. With their win total sitting 10.5, they made some additions already during the free agent period. Too high, too low, or just right for this team that is trying to really build into a sustainable contender?
I think the North's going to be good this year. I think with Caleb Williams going to Chicago, that'll make them better. They'll have a passing game. And I think Green Bay's a really good young team and depends on what Minnesota does at the quarterback position or if they just play Darnold. They're better on defense. So I think Detroit can be a better team. Don't know if they're going to get the 12 wins. I lean towards the over. I like the signing of DJ Reader. I like the trade for Carlton Davis to get him to come in there and play. So I think they've improved their secondary. They also added Amik Robinson. They replaced Jonah Jackson with Kevin Zeitler. So that's a one-for-one exchange. They added Marcus Davenport. See if they can get him some more pass rush coming off the edge. But I like their team. I think their team will be improved. And their offense is really good. They've got a great combination. So I like what they've done, and I lean the over. The problem is I think everybody else has had a good offseason in the North.
Yeah. The Lions with that are the favorite, plus 150 in the NFC North, but the Packers certainly a team that's on their way up. The Bears, hopeful that when they bring in Caleb Williams and all the other things that they have done through free agency, that they'll take a significant step forward. The Vikings, the longest shot there at 10-1. The Dallas Cowboys, Michael, three straight 12-win seasons, and we talk about it every day on the program. Absolutely nothing to show for it in the playoffs, but that doesn't matter because their win total set at 10.5 for the regular season. Too high, too low, or just right for this Cowboys team that seems to always get over it.
Too high. And because I think there's a perception they're really a talented team and they have some talented players, right? But they're missing some really good players. Now, they're going to get Diggs back in their secondary, which will help. You know, Gilmore's still out there. They haven't signed him. They don't have a running back on the team. They signed Rico Dowdle, you know, but he wasn't a great back. The offensive line has lost two starters in it already. Can they come back? They have no cap room. They've really only signed Eric Kendricks and their long snapper back. You know, they've signed, you know, Jordan Lewis back and C.J. Goodwin back. But for me, I think this team has taken a huge step back. And even though I didn't think they were as talented as everybody felt, the depth of this team is going to take a hit. And that offensive line, one of the reasons they didn't play well on the road, Stormy, is because their offensive line struggled on the road. It really did. And, you know, when they played Miami in Miami, they were not good enough. They should have beaten Miami. But I think, to me, this is a team that was overrated, and this number at 10.5 is too inflated. I think just right is 9.5. I think 9.5 is the right number because I can't really say to you that they're going to be a better team than they were last year. I really can't. They've got a lot of issues. Yeah. They're going to need a great draft, and they're picking in the 20s.
Yeah, my favorite phrase with the Cowboys this offseason so far is they've done a whole lot of nada. And so they're basically fielding the same team, if not like missing some pieces from what they've done. And we got the report earlier today from Ian Rappaport that there's no indications on a deal moving forward with Dak Prescott right now. So they're not going to be able to afford to do a whole lot more either. And Mike McCarthy, of course, on the last year of his deal. So it's a very interesting situation in Dallas. Let's keep it in the East, though, because the Philadelphia Eagles did make a move, most significantly bringing in Saquon Barkley to help support their quarterback in Jalen Hurts. With the win total at 10.5, the plus money is to the over, plus 110, juice minus 135 to the under on Philadelphia. Too high, too low, or just right at 10.5?
I think it's right at 10.5. I lean towards the over here. I mean, Philly's put a lot of emphasis on improving their offense. You know, they've got a really good offensive line. They signed Landon Dickinson to a contract extension. They add Barkley, this is the first time Barkley's going to play behind a really good line. And I think the Barkley move helps Hurts tremendously because it gives him, you know, that back that he didn't have this year. Even though we saw Swift play well, it wasn't the same kind of power. It wasn't the same. And I think Barkley, if he stays healthy, then he certainly can fill that void. Now, they've got a lot to go on defense, right? I definitely think they've improved with their outside pass rush, Shine and Bryce Huff. But they're going to need more. They're going to need to improve their secondary. I like their offseason. I really have. I think they've added some depth to their team. The linebacking, they haven't handled that yet. I know they've signed Oren Burks, but they really haven't handled that yet. They're going to need to get that fixed. They're going to need to draft some corners as well.
We got two more at 10.5 here, Michael, in the last 90 seconds. The Atlanta Falcons, of course, bring in Kirk Cousins. They become a big favorite in the NFC South. Have they done enough, though, to be considered an over 10.5 win team? The Dolphins, that number as well, yeah. Who has a lot of question marks on that defense right now. What do you think about those two?
Well, I think the Dolphins are definitely an underplay here. They haven't beaten a good team yet. We haven't seen them beat a good team, and they're not as good defensively this year as they were last year. Atlanta, I think that's a stretch to go up to 10.5. I really do. Because are we sure Atlanta's a really good team? You know, whenever you think you're one player away, you never are. You never are. Now, Kirk Cousins is going to make them better. But does that mean they're deep? They still can't rush the passer, right? They still can't rush the passer. And, you know, they struggled. When they went down and played New Orleans late in the year, they struggled. So Tampa came back on him in a game at home. Baker Mayfield drove 80 yards to win the game. And this was when, you know, we knew Arthur Smith wasn't getting fired. So for me, I think we tend to go a little bit too far in one direction. I think 10 may be a good number for them, not 10.5.
Great stuff as always, Michael. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Stormy.
For those of you watching on DraftKings Network, Pablo Torre is coming up next. More great sports betting content on VSiN with Patrick Maher and the Sharp Money Crew. Have a great day.